Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the rousing fight song of free speech, because you hear it and you just want to charge down the field and get a touchdown. That's what you want to do. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or phone it in to 1-800-724-2719. Today, we are privileged to have Filbert with us. Filbert, welcome to the show.
Hello again. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you. We got a variety of things to talk about, but just now, I was at Notre Dame University. Some people might say Notre Dame because they want to impress you with their French. Notre Dame University, the home of the Fighting Irish. And Fighting Irish, yeah, that's going to be something. That's a thing. I think I've heard of the Fighting Irish before. It is in South Bend, Indiana. Some people say South Bend over Indiana because they had this mayor named Pete Buttigieg, who was a fag, gay married to some...
A homo.
Yeah, a homo. Gay married to some disgusting pervert. And some people would say that. I would not say that. I will not say such a thing because I'm just that tolerant. And I think Pete would appreciate that. I think he would appreciate that. But... anyway, the Fighting Irish. Any thoughts?
Historically Catholic, I guess.
It is. It is a Catholic school. And speaking of Fighting Irish, are you aware of the riots that took place in Ireland?
Like recently?
Yes.
Yeah, that's... Was that related to this recent stabbing?
It certainly was. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it from the way the news has covered it. There was a vibrant stabbing. There was a vibrant man from North Africa who stabbed children and their attending adults in front of a kindergarten in Dublin, and then he was stopped. But of course, the police withhold certain demographic information. It turns out the guy was from North Africa, and the Irish are just sick. You know, there's only about 5 million people in Ireland, maybe less. I don't know. When last time I checked, there was about 5 million people on the island, but, you know, 1.5 million were Northern Ireland. But I haven't checked for a while, so it might be more than that. I'm sure it is somewhat more than that, but it doesn't have a very large population. And you just start dumping in Nigerians and Middle Easterners and people from random countries, and it's getting overwhelmed really fast. And the Irish are sick of it. But because it's a democracy, it doesn't matter what they think. And there's a prime minister who himself is a homo and a subcontinental. I don't know if he's of Indian or Pakistani extraction, but he's half subcontinental and he's gay. And he has sent out emissaries to various Irish communities explaining why they need to be vibrant, explaining why they need to have massive immigration into their small country. Last night I saw some videos and it was a little bit unclear, but there was some looting going on in stores. And from the videos, There were white Irish, and they were shouting something at some non-whites. And it looked to me, although I can't be sure, it looked to me as if they were telling the non-whites not to, to loot. So I really don't know what was going on. It does seem like the white Irish engaged the police, and the white Irish torched a police car or more. I don't know if non-white immigrants seized on the opportunity to do some looting. If it was whites who was doing the looting, that's a bad look and counterproductive. You don't want to do that. But that's the information I have at this point. I'm going to kick it over to you, Philbert. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, they're not going to take it lying down. Well, at least currently they're not. I saw a video of the current prime minister. I think it was fairly recent, where he was saying how important it was that they have Africans, many Africans and many non-whites. And, like we must have this, like, and, it's really repulsive. It's anti-nature, and I'm all about nature. And I don't know what else to say about that, but it's just, it's repulsive in the way that our alleged leaders or the people that are in charge, nonetheless, and how they are hell-bent on annihilating us, like genociding us. And it's important whenever you're talking to normies, I think, to call it a genocide. That's what it is, annihilation of a species or subspecies, in our case. And a lot of people get triggered. They don't like it when you say it. Some people can see this, but they're afraid to say the G word, genocide, because you're only allowed to use this in the context of when Jews are harmed. You know, that's proof, I would say, that Jews try to control us and do control us to a means by in which ways we're allowed to use certain words. That's a perfect example of that. And that's why they get so upset when you use the word genocide when you're referring to Jewish behavior. It's disgusting. As I was talking about the Prime Minister of Ireland talking about how important it is to genocide Ireland, basically, you know, and when you come out and put it like that, people are like, holy crap, you know, like, yeah, like we are being genocided. Yeah. Keep in mind, like what I tell people, is genocide doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't matter what the speed of the genocide is. We're being slowly genocided, and you know, if they would have their way, these Jews that are in charge of the world that are leading us down a destructive path of world war currently. I mean, if they could snap their fingers and get rid of all the Aryans and all the whites, including Slavs. Slavic culture also, and people, if they could just snap their fingers and get rid of all of us, you know, they would do that, you know, and it's our unfortunate reality.
So you look at Ireland, and they've got this gay subcontinental as their prime minister. You look at the United Kingdom of, the official name is the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And they have a Indian subcontinental prime minister. You look at Scotland, which is still part of the UK, but it's got a certain amount of autonomy. And they also have a subcontinental. I think he's a Muslim. I guess he's a Pakistani. I think he's married to a Palestinian, though. And then you look at the mayor of London. The mayor of London is a Pakistani. So you've got these subcontinentals ruling all parts of the British Isles. And that's odd. And then until last week, you had another subcontinental, a woman named Suella Braverman. And I don't know, you know, some Indian names end in the letters M-A-N. I don't know if that's her maiden name or if it's her married name. She's married to a Jew. Some Jews have M-A-N at the end of their name. I've never heard Braverman as a Jewish name. But at any rate, she was the home minister, which placed her in charge of immigration. And what did I just read? I just read an article from The Guardian, and has Britain had 700,000 migrants, was it this year? 700,000, well, their population is only one-fifth that of the United States. So if, you know, in terms of per capita, that would like be like the United States having 3.5 million. Well, we've probably had more than that, actually. But that's still way, way, way too much. And she got dismissed from the cabinet last week. But I think it was because she was proposing a crackdown on immigrants who protest Israel. And she used language that was much harsher and less sensitive than is currently allowed. So she got kicked out of the cabinet. And, you know, the current prime minister, his plan for stopping legal immigration, there's still way too much legal immigration, but his plan for stopping illegal immigration, which I think he inherited from prior administrations, but it is to send the illegal immigrants to the African country of Rwanda. And guess what? The courts won't let him do that. Well, okay, the courts won't let him do that. His hands are tied. You know, he might as well try to levitate them to the moon. And then, oh, well, you know, we're doing our best. We're trying to levitate them to the moon. What else do you want us to do? So that's kind of a weird situation that you're increasingly getting these countries. In this case, it's in the British Isles, where you're getting countries. You know, we had Barack Obama for a half African, whatever he is, ruling us at least as the front man for 8 years. It's really just kind of over the top. But just to circle back to the Irish, I remember in the 1970s when there were riots in South Boston, in Southie, where the Irish neighborhoods of Boston, and it was against busing, because they were busing blacks into Southie. And I remember my dad, you know, we're watching Walter Cronkite or Huntley and Brinkley or whatever we were watching back then in the 70s. And my dad was just saying, they can't do this. They can't do this in Boston because the Irish won't take it. Well, I guess in the end, the Irish wound up taking it. I don't know. But are we reaching the point where there's going to be a group of native white Europeans who are just going to say, no, forget it. And they're going to put their foot down.
I don't know is the honest answer, but mm-hmm. I would lean towards, unfortunately, no.
Yeah.
Because history has shown us that largely, and this is an unfortunate reality, and it goes back to the nature, history shows us that whoever is the most ruthless tends to win wars, win political races, win, mm-hmm. just use win kind of loosely there. And, you know, think of how mean you could say, I'll just use that adjective, sort of how mean we would have to be to get ourselves out of this mess, right? I mean, that's a deep thought there. I've thought about that. And are we willing to collectively do that? You know, and you can make the argument, as you were kind of saying, that, yeah, like maybe some small pockets of people will stand up and be the strong resistance. That's how it has been. But the large mass of white Europeans and whites worldwide are really, we have this innate, unfortunately, we have seem to have this, I guess you could say quality. It's not a quality I've subscribed to, but we have this thing where we're so worried about our external appearance to others, you know? And to me personally, that's not important. It's important for me to know the truth, and I will go wherever the truth leads me. And I've always tried to be very objective. And that's not to say I've been wrong on things, and you're allowed to change your mind, you know, but once you see things, you try to see both sides of things. But anyway, I guess what I'm getting at is largely, most people are too worried about being called a racist or God forbid being called an anti-Semite or a Nazi. So people won't put their foot down, or they currently haven't been shown to do anything as long as these words still hold weight. And I guess you could say over the time, right, since say, especially during the Trump years, that they use the term racist so much, like it doesn't hold a lot of water anymore. Yeah, that's true. But I don't know if it will ever hold zero water. And it goes a little deeper than that, too. But to me, that's what I currently see the issue of. And on top of that, you know, we don't have strong leaders that would say truths that we could get behind. And, you know, you could also say that we're desperate for somebody like that. That's why Trump was so popular. You know, he was willing to stand up and call the Mexican all our immigration as an invasion, which it is, you know, and that's one reason why he was so hated. But anyway, I'll add just this one bit to this, is that how I see things going in the future is environmentally, our world is going to crap. Like the planet is running out of resources. And I mean, it'll probably happen way longer after I'm dead. Unfortunately, I'm not going to see this, or maybe fortunately, I don't know. But I have a feeling that the Earth's resources are going to be dwindled before they get the chance to genocide all of us. I mean, it's very hard to, even with our low birth rates right now, they're below replacement rates, but it's very hard to completely exterminate a race. It's not impossible. It's been done in the past, but it's not easy, especially at our current numbers, you know, and we're dispersed throughout the world. But once we're out of fossil fuels, and I don't know, I'm not an expert, I'm not going to pretend that I know, but I mean, basically, you know, like water and our fossil fuels are not going to last forever, especially at the current rate we're using them. And I'm not an expert. Again, I can't put a number on that. I don't think anybody who is an expert could even put a number on how many years we have left. But I have a feeling that nature will start to revert, or nature will play a bigger part in our lives, and it will start to wane. You know, we're not going to have these East Africans that have 10, 12 kids per, and they're not going to get free handouts from Ukraine with the grain that they export, and they're not going to get free drinking water, you know, like the UN does. And I think that's going to be our saving grace, if you will. There's going to be a lot of pain, you know, but people that are actually tough and that can actually still hunt, say with a spear or a bow and arrow, life is going to be different. But once the earth runs low on these resources, we're gonna start to see nature take back over. That's my view on the future.
The likelihood of the Irish or anyone else really standing up for themselves,
it's you know, small.
Maybe a little spasms here and there.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
HempPaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit HempPaste.com/RBN.
Nature take back over. That's my view on the future.
The likelihood of the Irish or anyone else really standing up for themselves.
It's small.
Maybe little spasms here and there. Yeah, there may be little spasms here and there, and maybe that's what we're seeing. Who knows? Who knows? The one thing I will say is that sometimes things can happen very quickly. And I just remember 32 years ago, 34 years ago, when the Eastern Bloc, the Soviet Bloc, came to an end. And you had 2 or 3 years where just things that would have a couple years earlier been unthinkable just all of a sudden were happening. And we've been seeing a buildup of tensions in the, we could call them tensions in the system. And I often put it, you know, I put a starting point back at like 2015, Trump coming down the escalator and saying that Mexico's not sending its best. They're sending murderers, they're sending rapists, and presumably some of them are good people. And the Trump campaign and the Brexit campaign as being critical, not so much that they that they in and of themselves achieved anything, but because they freaked out the Jewish power lords, right? And they, within the Jewish power community, I think it put the impetus, the leadership, the prerogative into the hands of the go fast crowd as opposed to the go slow crowd. I think, you know, had it not been for Trump and maybe Brexit, you would have just had to kind of go slow. It would have just been the frog in the boiling pan, never noticing that the temperature's going up until it's way, way too late. But what happened is you got kind of a double or nothing crowd. They got the upper hand within the Jewish community, and they started pushing things a lot faster. They started doing all these hoaxes. The first election hoax against Trump, where they were saying that it was Russian meddling and this and that, and they didn't let him exercise the powers of the presidency, did all these unprecedented things, and he started getting hoax after hoax with the coronavirus, with the Black Lives Matter, you know, the social justice, racial justice, and then the real fake election, and things, and then these wars, pushing Russia into the war, and now you've got what's going on in Gaza, and I think things are just kind of reaching a point where things are going to be falling apart for the Jewish power structure, and all sorts of things could happen. I think it's really hard to predict what's going to happen at this point. So many things could happen. I think people around the world are talking about Jewish power in ways that they never were able to or never were willing to before. And a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it in the terms of soccer is own goals, right? Uh-huh. I mean, the Jews set up these leftists on college campuses and elsewhere to fixate on everything as white supremacy and colonialism and imperialism. And now these people that they've indoctrinated with anti-white theories, anti-white ideas, those anti-white ideas are now being applied to Israel and to Jews, and subjecting them to critique like they haven't had to deal with in the past. And it's coming from their own people. It's coming from their own, until now, their own so-called useful idiots. That's where it's coming from. But those people are clearing the path for others to have the squad, to have these blue-haired, nose-pierced, tattooed, fat girls on college campuses be saying what they say. That makes it easier for Elon Musk. I mean, he shouldn't have to hide behind their leotards or whatever they wear. I don't know what they wear, but it seems that he needs these other people to blaze the trail for them. But you are getting criticism of Jews in way, not the best criticism, not the most accurate criticism, but criticism nonetheless in ways you never did before. So I'll kick it back to you, Gilbert.
So you're right, and it's hard for these people that promote.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Criticism nonetheless, in ways you never did before. So I'll take it back to you, Gilbert.
So you're right, and it's hard for these people that promote the ongoing genocide of the Palestinians, who I can kind of sympathize with at the very least on a humanity level. Like, not only that, they deserve some respect because they're actually fighting the enemy. And with guns, and I'm not trying to promote violence, but with the same token, you could say that's more than what we're doing. What we're fighting with our keyboards, and I'm not saying you should, take up arms, and unless it gets that bad. But you have people like Candace Owens coming out and saying, I don't know if you saw this, but she's said she's promoting or endorsing Nikki Haley for president of Israel. And I just thought that was hilarious. And you have these United States blacks they look at Israel like a white nation, right? They say Israel's white supremacist, and that
like
they're having a hard time.
Just one second. Like any white nation, like Great Britain, like Scotland, like Ireland, Israel should have an Indian prime minister, right?
Yeah. The Palestinians that they're displacing should be able to seek refuge in Israel, right? Isn't Israel the only democracy in the Middle East, as we're told?
They share our values.
Yeah, so to me, this, like I said, they're having a hard time squaring that circle. Like that that shows me that historically they have relied upon these heavily Christian Zionists and these televangelists like John Hagee and these pathetic losers you see on TV that want you to give all your money to Israel. They have relied upon these types of people just to have this irrational belief that them's God's chosen people, right? Like it's, and then they, not only this, these same type of people believe that, well, when all these wars happen, right, that means that Jesus is going to come and save us all. So in a way, they sort of, then not only do they support Israel, but they support ongoing wars in the Middle East, and which, you know, obviously Israel wants. So it's a very dangerous line of thought. I don't know how we're going to correct that, or if we even can as a whole. Unfortunately, that seems to be, religion is more addicting than, you know, drugs, or you could say it is a drug, I guess, for a lot of people. And I don't mean this as an insult by any means, but I don't think it can be denied that, you know, they've been enabled by a lot of hardcore religious Christians, and not all, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Christianity and Judaism, well, and Islam, for that matter, all Abrahamic religions. You're all worshiping the same God. And I've said it before, I'm not the first one to say it, but how are you expected or even supposed to win a war against an enemy when you are worshiping his God, right? We're worshiping Yahweh, his Jews' God. And I just don't see any other way around it. So we have to have sort of a spiritual side of things, because, well, there has to be an alternative to Christianity is what I'm saying. And there is. I've touched on this in the past. I'll bring it up real quick. There's something called cosmotheism, which is a religion that Dr. William Luther Pierce came up with, and it's nature-based. It's not like paganism. I know a lot of people don't like pagans. Well, that's fine. But nonetheless, it's not worshiping the same God that Jews worship. Again, I don't know how you expect to win a war against Jews by worshiping their God. Now, that's one reason why they have Christians in their pocket. But anyway.
Hey,
what do you think about all that?
Okay. Before I say something serious, I'm going to say, what was I going to say? How do we actually know that Jesus was Jewish?
I don't even know that there's a lot of historical evidence for him. There's a lot of anecdotal hearsay evidence that he existed.
Well,
but I mean, you could make the argument whether Moses or Jesus even really existed.
Well, this is how we know Jesus was Jewish, okay? Because he thought his mother was a virgin, and his mother thought he was a god. That he was God. So that's how we know. Okay. It's a joke. And it's a funny joke. And I think it's a Jewish joke. And you know, they are good. They're good at that. Maybe it wasn't a Jewish joke, but I think it was. I heard it from a Jew. Anyway, the historical evidence for Moses is really good. The historical evidence for Jesus, I think, is good enough that he was actually lived, because the testaments were written down a few decades after his life. So I mean, if we were in a pre-internet society, for instance, you know, and you and I started writing about Ronald Reagan, like, we remember Ronald Reagan, or we remember Richard Nixon. I could write something about my memories of Richard Nixon. And so that's kind of like the time frame you're talking about. It's good enough for me. Maybe it's not good enough for everybody. But Moses is a lot more, these other, like Moses, there really isn't any evidence that Jews were enslaved in Egypt. There were slaves in Egypt, and Jews may have been in Egypt, but there's no evidence that they were enslaved in Egypt. And, you know, the Egyptians, they did leave behind writings. There's a lot of writing that they left behind. Another possibility, though, is maybe they were enslaved in Egypt and it just wasn't significant. It wasn't important enough to write down. Who knows? I don't know. But regarding the religion, if you look at Christianity historically, there have been times it's probably played a pretty constructive role. And there are times like in our era where a big hunk of Christianity is not playing a constructive role. So you got Pope. I don't even remember Pope Benedict. Is that no Pope Benedict was who is the new Pope? Andrew Anglin always refers to him as Pope Anus. I can't get that out of my brain. But he's not playing a constructive role. You were referring to these Christian Zionists, people like John Hagee, and you know you've had a lot of these people who've just played a horrible role in getting a big hunk of evangelicals, presumably tens of millions of evangelicals, to support Israel and Jews. Assets that they have to contribute are really meager. Their money, when you think about it, if you have, let's just say you have 30 million evangelicals, and most of these evangelicals, the real Christian Zionist type, they don't have $1,000 to give. They don't. They might have assets, but it's all in their house. It's in their car. They don't have any disposable income. Whereas you get one Jew like Sheldon Adelson, who's got $30 billion. Well, 30 million evangelicals times $1,000 that they might have in their banks equals one Sheldon Adelson. And there's a lot of Sheldon Adelsons out there. So they really don't need their money. The votes help. But also, even more than the votes and even more than the whatever meager contributions they might send to crime, normally in other eras you've had Christian movements that have been very, especially like, well, Catholic or Protestant, have been hostile, come up and been very hostile to Jewish power, maybe not all the time, but from time to time, and it's neutered them. And then the next segment, the last segment I'll talk about is just the mainstream Protestant churches, where they're all involved in, you know, multi-faith, what do they call it? Interfaith dialogue and everything. And interfaith dialogue simply means being led around by the nose by Jews. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the evangelicals, you got the Catholic Church and the mainstream Protestants. And to a large extent, they're not playing a very good role. So I'll certainly give you that.
Yeah, so if you look at the alleged Virgin Mary, she was clearly a Jew. She was a blood relative of Elizabeth of the tribe of Levi. And it says that in Luke 1:5 and 1:36. When Jesus mm-hmm. was born, she, along with Joseph, performed everything according to the Jewish law of the Lord. It says that in Luke 2:39. And I mean, set aside the nonsense about her being a virgin and somehow miraculously getting impregnated by God. Hermetic mythology about the demigods on earth suggests that Joseph was of the house of David. Kind of what you said about Christians not having money, you're right about that. And I mean, you could say as a whole, one of the most powerful things they've been able to have is the support of all of us and going to fight wars for them. I mean, that's that's more powerful than money, I guess one could ascertain. Or anyway, but yeah, Sheldon Adelson. How old is he? He's got to be getting old, doesn't he?
Oh, he's dead.
Oh, is he?
He died a couple of years ago.
I think
yeah,
Murray Rothstein.
Yeah, but
Murray Rothstein.
He died too, right? But he still at Sumner Redstone, right?
Yes, yes.
Murray Rothstein at Sumner Redstone. Yeah, and he died a couple of years ago. But he's you know, in both cases, they've got family that are carrying on the tradition. Regarding the virginity of Mary, I'm not a theologian. I don't read Greek or Hebrew, but it's my understanding that the something got lost in translation. That the was it the Hebrew word could just as easily mean young girl as, or maybe it was a Greek word, could just as easily mean young girl as virgin. And it's been translated into, maybe it got translated into Latin as virgin, when it could just as easily have been young girl. I guess it would be the Greek. The Greek could be just as easily mean young girl. So that might just be a misunderstanding and an incorrect translation. But here's one thing I do want to say regarding the Jewishness of these people, Jesus or others. You will usually talk about the Hebrews of the Bible, right? And what you had after Jesus was you had lots of people from that area, from the Eastern Mediterranean, some of whom had come from a Jewish tradition and some who did not come from a Jewish tradition, and they started worshiping Jesus. And the ones who had come from, who had Jewish ancestry, what would be thought of as Jewish ancestry, they no longer reproduced with other Jews. In effect, what you had was a split in the Jewish population. And some of them maintained their Jewishness and are the ancestors of today's, in some somewhat mixed form, with some admixture, but the ancestors of today's Sephardim or Ashkenazim, you know, Ashkenazi Jews. Some of the, and then others who followed Jesus, some of them mixed with other non-Jewish populations, and these are the ancestors of today's Lebanese or what do they call them? The Assyrians in Syria. These are people who still speak the Aramaic language that Jesus spoke. In fact, these Christian groups in the, and even some Muslim groups in the Eastern Mediterranean have just as much a claim from the Hebrews of the Old Testament as modern day Jews. There was a split. It's just that the ones who are adopted Christianity don't relate to Judaism the same way anymore. So, you know, it's a bit complicated. Before we run out of time, there was one article I'd sent over to you about nobody could have predicted this. People who maintained vigilance against the deadly coronavirus, who took all of these advisories seriously, and they did the social distancing and the sheltering in place, and presumably back seriously, they are experiencing much worse mental health now than the people who thought it was a whole bunch of nonsense from the get go. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that was interesting. I did read that, and it seems, it makes sense to me. It seems perfectly logical to me. And this was a study done in the UK, as I remember in the article, but I mentioned to you last night, probably worldwide, I would say, you know, but yeah, it's hard for people to stand by things, right? It's hard. It's very hard for people to admit when they're wrong, you know, and it's fine. That's how you learn. I've never had a problem admitting when I'm wrong and addressing things I may have been wrong about. Like I said earlier, it's important for me to find the truth. You know, and I try not to let ego get in the way of that. And a lot of people have trouble, seemingly have trouble, like lots of trouble doing that, right? So when something like that comes out, they'll just try to, you know, either deny it.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tehi Bo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Get in the way of that, and a lot of people have trouble, seemingly have trouble, like lots of trouble doing that, right? So when something like that comes out, they'll just try to you know, either deny it or come up with reasons why we should, yeah, but we should have done that anyway, like there was no other way around it or something like that, you know. But it's, again, this goes back to what I was mentioning earlier about one reason why we're in this mess now. We have a lot of our people, unfortunately, have a certain weakness to them where they just go along with the crowd and then try to make an excuse as to why, you know, when something like this happens. Yeah, it was an interesting article. It's, and I believe that was true.
One point in the article, which I think is worthy of note, is that people in 2020, they were instructed very clearly to do masking and social distancing and lockdowns and vaccinations. They were instructed to do this. They were told it's to slow the curve. But there was never a time where the authorities came out and said, okay, we won, now don't do it anymore. It's time to stop. There was never a time. It just fizzled. And so these people who are now experiencing mental health problems, they were just kind of orphaned. They were just left astray. They were followers. They're completely followers. And then they were just left just to float aimlessly. And I still go into stores sometimes and I see people wearing masks. I can't imagine why they're doing that, what they think they're doing. But they're just, you know, it's really pretty mean. Why were they just left in front? Why doesn't Fauci or, you know, one of these other, or Rochelle Walensky, one of these other thoroughly discredited people will come out and just say, okay, you know, because they're still worshipped as heroes by mask wearers, I would suppose. Why don't they come out and say, yay, we did it, we won, okay, we can take off the masks now? They won't even do that. And I think that's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. So
it sure is.
God, yeah.
And I think one reason why they don't do that is because they can still weaponize it, right? That maybe they feel they haven't milked it for all it's worth yet.
Maybe. But we're at the end of our time. I want to thank you for joining me, Philbert.
Yes, always glad to be here. And I always look forward to next time.
As I do as well. Okay. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Cable Radio.
Beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.